Welcome to another episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. In this episode, we are going to tell you a little about the granddaddy region of them all, Rioja. Now, I'll have to be honest with you, for some reason, I was sort of avoiding this one because it was so obvious. I mean, who hasn't heard of Rioja? It's almost synonymous with Spanish wine. The one most people can remember when you ask them, name a famous wine region from Spain, sort of like Napa Valley in the US, Chianti in Italy, Bordeaux in France. And even though we know that these regions or these countries have many more regions with a whole slew of choices and excellent choices, one of them normally has to stand out above the rest. And in Spain's case, it is basically Rioja. It sort of acts as a shop window for the whole sector. And it's an excellent choice to represent the country. And there are a lot of reasons why. First, you have this age-old experience and reputation as a producer of fine wine. Its demand for excellence is not just a DO, it's called a DO calificada, which is the highest level that you can have. In other words, they won't accept just any ordinary stuff. Also, its physical circumstances, the climate and the land conditions are conducive to good winemaking. And finally, the final product, the result, it just makes good wine. Even your average stuff is often more than acceptable. It's sort of one of these stamps of guarantee that you can find with the Riojas. Now, while most wine regions in Spain have been producing wine for as long as Rioja and longer, Rioja was a pioneer in many ways if we look at wine from a modern standpoint. But before we get to all of that, let's get a handle on just where this region is. Rioja, the wine region, for the most part belongs to a region in Spain, a province, so to speak, which goes basically by the same name, but with a slight difference. That region is called La Rioja, with the La at the beginning. It's in the north of Spain, about 3 hours to the north-northeast of Madrid. But the wine region also sort of edges into Navarra, the region of Navarra to the east, and into the Basque Country in the north, in the province of Álava. Now, the origins of Rioja as a wine region go all the way back to Roman times, and that's not surprising, as we have seen many regions get their beginnings that way. Wherever you find Romans, you will most likely find wine and wine production. And it basically continued from there. The production was consistently hardy and strong during the Middle Ages, thanks in part to the presence of monasteries, many of which were located there because they ran along the famous Camino de Santiago. And just like the Romans, wherever you find monks, you also find wine. There is plenty of proof of winemaking and wine production and wine drinking in that region from those days. We have early writers like Gonzalo de Berceo, who is from a town called Berceo, which is in La Rioja. He is considered by some to be the first writer of Spanish literature, and he was said to mention the wine on numerous occasions. And so production continued throughout the centuries, and there seems to be plenty of proof that it was an important center of winemaking and apparently quality winemaking. There is a lot of documentation attesting to that importance, laws, ordinances, statutes. Some prohibited the entry of wine from other parts into the local town, sort of a way of making sure that the local product didn't have too much competition. Other laws banning carriages and wagons on certain streets so as not to disturb the wine in the cellars below, in particular the town of Haro, H-A-R-O. That's still a very famous town in the winemaking region of Rioja. Other laws restricted the production of wine to keep the prices from crashing, or they came up with roads built to improve shipping to the coast of Spain, then they would be sent to other countries. So basically, this stuff has been around for a very long time, that much we know. But regardless of all these tidbits of history, the real transformation took place in the second half of the 19th century when a couple of things happened to change the course of this region's trajectory as a wine producer. Now, one was the efforts of a man named Luciano Murrieta, the Marques de Murrieta, a military officer and also a grape grower, who went to Bordeaux and learned how winemaking was done there. He was so impressed. He took this know-how back home to his vineyards outside Logroño. This would turn out to be a very good decision. The wine he produced would become the first of what we know to be the Bordeaux-style red wine and the first in Rioja. Not much long afterwards, the Marques de Riscal, another nobleman, came up with his version, and they were followed by a handful of others whose products to this day are still very famous and very popular. These include other wineries such as Cune, Cune, López Heredia, and others. Then came a stroke of good luck at the expense of someone else's misfortune. I am talking about France and the devastating effect that the phylloxera epidemic inflicted on Europe, especially France. The destruction was unimaginable. But now that French-like red wine could be made in nearby regions like Rioja, the French looked to meet their needs in these places. And the winemakers from La Rioja found themselves suddenly struggling to satisfy the French's seemingly insatiable need for wine. Business was booming a lot, until that very same insect, the phylloxera, made its way to the vineyards of Rioja and began to do its damage there. Now, by that time, France was recovering, but this was just the worst possible news that could happen to Rioja, and soon many of its vineyards were decimated too. Now, if you're familiar with this problem, what they did, and you may recall this from your days of studying biology in high school, it's a term called grafting. And what they do is they take the fruit-bearing vine, which are the European vines, and they graft it, they connect it to the rootstock of an American vine, which is resistant to the phylloxera insect or mite, and then they plant it. And that's been done for over 100 years, and they still do it today. And that's how these regions start to come back. By the early 20th century, Rioja slowly crawled back. In 1929, it became Spain's first denominación de origen, but full recovery did not come until the late 60s and 70s. It took a while. Then in 1991, it became the first denominación de origen calificada, which is the highest and strictest level of protected products that you can have. Most regions do not have this distinction. By that time, by the 1990s, Rioja supremacy was almost unquestionable, but somewhat contested. Regions like Ribera del Duero were fast rising stars, and in addition to that, wine tastes were also changing. Sort of that heavy oak aging winemaking method was giving way to bold wines that focused more on the fruit itself. World famous tasters and gurus like Robert Parker were shying away from the traditional methods and praising newer versions and modern vinification methods. While Rioja continued to produce its traditional wines, and they were very popular, there was also a shift by younger generations in some cases, and not so younger generations in others, to sort of adjust to modern times and to modern tastes. And Rioja has done that too. So it's been successful in adapting to the times. More recently, Rioja has opened up to new ideas. For example, bodegas are now allowed to produce single vineyard wines as long as they adhere to strict specifications. The bottles could be labeled mentioning the specific town it was made in or even the specific zone. So there's a lot of interesting things going on there. There's actually so much more to tell about its history, but that's the gist. Now let's get to the wines themselves. DOCA Rioja is divided into three geographic subzones. Starting in the east, you have what they call the Rioja Baja, or Lower Rioja, which covers parts of Navarra and the southern part of La Rioja. The Rioja Alta, which makes up the bulk of the wine region and covers the central and western vineyards of La Rioja, and the Rioja Alavesa, which reaches into the Basque province of Alava, as we were telling you before. The north of Spain can be rainier than other parts of Spain, but the particular location of Rioja, which is a bit drier and warmer than other parts, but still cooler at night, is fundamental to the success of the grapes as they grow and the winemaking technique. Rioja Alta is the biggest section, as we mentioned before, followed by Rioja Alavesa and then Rioja Baja. The majority of the biggest names of the DO are also in those first two subzones. Now today, Rioja is known almost exclusively for red wine. The vast majority of its production is devoted to that version, and it's what most people think of when they hear the region mentioned. Traditional Riojas are generally blends. They are mostly made with Tempranillo. That's the main variety that goes into the majority of the wines and the majority of the blend. The largest proportion of the wine is Tempranillo. But to that wine, the bodegueros usually add two other kinds, like Garnacha or Mazuelo, which is also known as Carignan, or a local variety called Graciano. There is also another local variety called Maturana, which sometimes goes into these blends. These wines, this combination of the varieties, is ideal for aging, which is one of the region's strengths. Now your basic Riojas, your classic Riojas, come in four ranges. One is joven, young wine, which has little or no aging. Then you have crianza, which is 12 months of aging in a barrel and another 12 months of aging in bottle. Then you have reserva, which is also 12 months of aging in a barrel and 24 months in a bottle. Then you finally have gran reserva, which is 24 months in wood and another 24 months at least, sometimes more, in bottle. The result of this aging process is often a delicate and sophisticated wine, famous for having sort of that spiciness, the spices that are often contributed by the wood aging, and it has that flavor that often will say, hey, that's a Rioja. It's also the system that the locals acquired from the French, and it's the same system that has been passed on to many other regions in Spain. Basically, it's the standard by which red wine is aged. Then you have the other high-end modern versions I was telling you about. They are often bolder wines. Many are aged, but in a different way or in a different process or with a different type of oak. And even some different grapes are involved. And that's the bulk of the Rioja production. Now, that's not the only thing they make. Because even though most people don't think of white wine when they think of Rioja, the fact is Rioja has a long tradition in white wine making and is capable of making excellent white wine. They can be largely overshadowed by the red wine partner, I'd say, and hugely underrated in many ways. Just to give you an example, Marqués de Murrieta's Castillo y Gay, that's YGAY, white wine from the 1986 vintage, earned an amazing, or a perfect, rather, 100 points by Robert Parker. So yes, that's a Rioja white wine getting a perfect score. And white wine's even popular among the Riojans themselves. I was once talking to a famous winemaker from Ardo. He makes some of the most famous wine in the region. And he told me that every day before lunch, he'd go to the center of town and have a glass of white wine. So there you have it. Another example of how white wine is a part of everyday life in that region. These wines are made usually with a variety known as Viura, V-I-U-R-A. It's also known as Macabeo in other regions. And they will also use the famous Malvasia, which is a variety that is still very popular in places like the Canary Islands. And then you have Garnacha Blanca and a handful of others. Varieties like Viura do very well with fermentation in oak barrels. So that also gives the white wine its special aroma, bouquet, and taste. Other wines include rosé. It makes up about 6% of the production, and they are delicious and actually rising in popularity as rosé has become popular worldwide. There's also sparkling wine, which is sort of a recent surprise, especially since some of it is actually marketed as cava. And then there are some semi-sweet wines that have been around for a long time and are pretty easy to find. You can get these actually in supermarkets and stuff and reasonable prices. And they're quite popular too if you're looking for something a little bit different. And speaking of prices, I bet some people think, well, Rioja is the most famous region, therefore the prices are going to be really high, but that's couldn't be further from the truth. Riojas are very competitive in terms of price. You can find a lot of Riojas for under 10 euros, and I would venture to say the majority of them go for under 20 euros. You're going to find much more expensive ones, higher end, you know, 80, 100, 150, 200 euro bottles of wine. But that's for a different market, for a different budget, which exists if you're looking for it. But the good thing for most people is that you can get a Rioja and even a decent one. And it's often not going to cost you an arm and a leg. And what should you do if you want to visit these wineries? Well, you definitely can. Wine tourism has been somewhat slow to catch on in this country. It's pretty big now, but it's been fairly recent. But Rioja was definitely one of the pioneers in this department, as it was a pioneer in many other parts of winemaking. And it started out with the wineries themselves, the actual buildings themselves. In other words, in the past, stopping by a winery and picking up a case or two is sort of a tradition in Spain. But now people want to take it to the next level. They want to do wine tastings, have events, see the wineries, learn about how it's all done. And in Rioja, they really went to great lengths to come up with state-of-the-art buildings designed by world-famous architects, Philippe Massiers, Frank Gehry, and Santiago Calatrava, to name just a few. Towns like, or cities, Logroño, which is the capital of La Rioja, or Haro, or La Guardia, which is in Álava, are great hubs for travelers and visitors who are looking for wineries. You have self-guided tours, group tours, private tours, just about everything is available for every kind of visit. So there you have it. And I think we'll stop there. I get the feeling I've just told you a fraction of what I could about this region. There's just so much, especially if you get involved in the different bodegas, the wineries themselves, and the history of each one. There's just so much to tell you. But this should be enough to get you started. So go out and try one and enjoy. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast on Spanish wine by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos, Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish culture, and you can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us on a regular basis, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers, or salud, as they say in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.